now, here's your host, board-certified circumcision reattachment specialist, Drew Marshall.
This might be the longest intro I will ever read, but it's so going to be worth it. Singer, songwriter, and producer extraordinaire John Elefante began his musical career in 1981. I wasn't even born then. After lead singer Steve Walsh left the rock group Kansas, Elefante auditioned for the spot and was chosen. In addition, he was like the Justin Bieber of the day. In addition to landing the job, he saw all four of his demo tape songs make the band's next album. Crazy. During his 4 years with the group, Elefante recorded two albums, Vinyl Confessions and Drastic Measures, and spent 3 years touring. In his years since Kansas, Elefante and his brother Dino, how you doing, have produced numerous albums. The brothers also co-own the Nashville based recording studio, The Sound Kitchen, which had become the largest recording studio in the southeastern United States. Check this out, Timmy. Artists include, you ready?
Yep, I'm checking off here.
Alabama, Amy Grant, Barry Manilow, Brad Paisley, Brooks and Dunn.
Slow down.
Stop it. Carrie Underwood, Dixie Chicks, Dolly Parton, both of hers, Donna Summer, George Strait, Gretchen Wilson, Jewel, Jimmy Buffett, Julio Iglesias. By the way, Jimmy Buffett, I got a question about that. I would like to know if he recorded Cheeseburger in Paradise there. Julio Iglesias, Keith Urban, Kenny Rogers, Leanne Rimes, and then the new Kenny Rogers, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Michael W. Smith, Peter Cetera, Reba McEntire, Rascal Flatts, Third Day, Trisha Yearwood, and Vince Gill. Just to name a few is how you finish that sentence.
I don't even recognize any of those names.
John Elefante joins us on the phone. The website is johnelefante.com. John!
I'm here.
Dude, you are a freaking legend.
You left out Bruce Springsteen.
You know, can you just let me do my job, please? Jeez. I've got a Bruce Springsteen question.
Okay.
So here's the deal. Do you remember, I want you to think back, think way back, when you had in one studio Bruce Springsteen, in the other studio Faith Hill, and in the other studio Julio Iglesias?
Yes, I remember that very well.
That's ridiculous.
And I got a good one for you, too.
Yeah.
Julio, we had our private bathroom, our offices in the studio were upstairs, and Julio Iglesias came up and used our bathroom.
Well, holy crap. That's unbelievable. Did you ever wipe it again? I mean, the toilet?
I'm not going there.
Okay, all right. Seriously, what a career, what a music guru you are. But I'd like to know if Mike Tyson paid you for Fight Fire with Fire.
I don't think he ever did.
Because that was his intro for a lot of years.
Yeah, I know that. He might have had a company to pay this, but it didn't come in under Mike Tyson. I don't know.
Maybe he could, like, just do a Contra thing and loan you a tiger. What was that movie where, and what was that called again?
The Hangover.
The Hangover, that's
maybe,
right.
Maybe Mike Tyson should sing a version of that song.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, everybody, you know, kind of wants to talk about the Kansas stuff, so let's just get that out of the way. Because, you know, okay. I love Kansas, but you are so much more than Kansas. You left when Carrie left. True story?
Yes.
Was it, like, because it wasn't Kansas anymore? Is that why?
Exactly. It just, you know, well, not only did Carrie leave, but Dave Hope left as well. And it was, and Robbie Steinhardt had been kicked out of the band. So that left a guitar player and a drummer and me, a little trio.
You know, we had Phil Ehart on the show a little while ago. I like Phil. He's good. Watched him perform. They did a gig up here at Casino Rama, you know, the classic rock drum set right from the 70s with 3,000 toms and 48 cymbals. And you know, dude's a little guy. But, and I mean short, because I'm 6'4". But he's not as short, or is he as short, as Mr. T and Sylvester Stallone?
Not nearly as short. When I met them, when we were on tour with Survivor, I couldn't believe it. It was like, you know, Lord Farquhar in
it's like Lord Farquhar. Oh man!
I mean, they were sitting down and they stood up, and I had no idea those guys were that short. I felt great. I am taller than Mr. T. I'm just under 5'8". I'd say Mr. T's maybe 5'6", 5'7".
I pity the fool.
Lisa, that's about how tall he seemed to me.
Did Kansas... See, I'm doing the... a true or not true thing here. Did Kansas try to sue you to stay?
I wouldn't say the band did. The management did.
Right.
They threatened me with a suit, yeah.
But was Phil ticked with you? You guys buddies? Do you send Christmas cards?
We're buddies now, yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't talked to Phil for 29 years, and I had dinner with him about 6 months ago, and it was fabulous.
Really? 29 years, and then you had dinner 6 months ago?
Yeah.
That's so cool. So cool.
I mean, on a serious note, I wanted to sit. I really, for a long time, wanted to tell Phil how much it meant to be part of that band. I mean, just to have that as part of my resume. It opened up so many doors for me, in my career and in my life and in my ministry, everything. And I wanted to tell him that. And that might sound a little trite, but it's true.
Finish this sentence for me. Arrogance plus pride plus industry plus Jesus equals what? The correct answer is Brian Duncan. I'm kidding.
Oh, Brian.
We'll talk about Brian in a second, but what I'm trying to get at is, it doesn't matter what God people get into, we're still, ridiculously human at the core. We run around looking for mirrors, especially in North America. And I want to know, did you get swallowed up by it? Like, how much of a jerk did you become?
For a little while there, a pretty good-sized one.
Really?
But I have a brother, Dino, that always kept me in check. What's the matter with you, man? I'll break your face. Get over here. He kept me in check pretty good. I called him from... We did a USO tour with Cheap Trick and Doobie Brothers and all that. I was really getting arrogant and really full of myself, and I called him from the Philippines, man. He just laid into me.
Gotta love a brother like that, man. You don't need a brother from another mother when you got a brother like that.
Called him Kalek from the Philippines.
Oh, you're so nice.
No Skype in those days.
No. Any coulda, shoulda, wouldas from back in the day?
Probably, but none come to mind right now.
Well, that's all right. That means they're not,
I wish the band had stayed together longer with that lineup with Kerry and Dave and myself and Phil and Rich. I mean,
the Sound Kitchen Studio. Did you sell it because of Pro Tools?
That was probably the main reason, and not Pro Tools itself. It's just that it enabled people to make records in their basement.
Yeah.
So they weren't showing up at the Sound Kitchen anymore because they were turning their basements into studios, and all the overdub business was going to homes. And I told my brother, I said, we better get out now. And we did.
So would you say you got out in time?
Yes, perfect timing.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people that have a lot of useless equipment in their places now, and man.
There are digital machines that we paid $120,000 for now that you can't, that you have to pay somebody just to have them come pick them up. They're absolutely worthless. You can do more on an iPhone.
Really? Oh, man. Let's talk about Brian Duncan. Can we just do that?
Sure.
Because Brian's got a lot of problems, man.
Explain. I haven't seen Brian in about 10 years, but...
Really? Brian is the wildest cat I know. He takes ADD to a whole new level, man. I still really love his voice. I think he's got one of the best voices out there, period, bar none.
And his speaking voice, he's got kind of that... His speaking voice is loud and kind of whiny. And then, he's an incredible singer.
Oh.
You cannot take that away from the guy.
But now, I don't know if this story, I might just be factually wrong and so bad today. By the way, I'm sick, so have a little pity on me, will you? Your wedding. Did you have an amazing wedding?
No, it was very simple.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we spent more than $1,000.
Who was it that had a wedding that had, like, people there?
Brian Duncan sang at my wedding.
That's, really?
You didn't know that? Is that why you brought that up?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
How did you know?
Well, I know people.
Little Boydie?
Little Boydie. what were you thinking having Brian Duncan sing at your wedding?
Well,
he could have walked out with any one of the bridesmaids.
That's a good question. Now, hey, I wanted that great voice in my wedding, man. I wasn't about to sing. I was too nervous.
Yeah.
And he did a great job.
Growing up in Levittown and then going to Long Beach, that's a weird shift.
Right.
So was that a trip? I mean, did you fit right in, or were you this weird East Coast punk with an attitude trying to fit in with the surfies?
We were that Italian family that moved in on the block. Yeah, we were weird. Those are the weirdos that moved in the house down the block.
Are you still in that neck of the woods, Long Beach area?
No, I live in just outside of Nashville now.
Oh, that's right. Do you wish you'd go back?
You know, I don't care where you go. When you're a New York Italian, you remain a New York Italian. I don't care where you live.
Right.
You can live on the moon, and your house is going to smell like pasta all day. The sound kitchen, the minute you walked in the sound kitchen, the smell of pasta and sauce was pasted to the walls.
You're killing me.
I mean, it was great. It was fabulous.
Stop talking about food. What's your God story? What's your God thing? Why did you sign up for the program? Why are you a Jesus guy?
I'm into the concept of eternal life. I enjoy that, and definitely. And I think Christ was quite a guy. Well, maybe that's an understatement. He was the guy. He was the man. He was the Son of God.
You need to put that on a bumper sticker. Christ was quite a guy.
I don't mean to understate it.
No,
he was the guy.
But did you grow up with God stuff and grow in a church and all that?
No. No. Not at all. No. My mom was, she was sort of religious. My dad was, he was ticked off at the Catholic Church because all they did was beat the heck out of him.
Yeah.
So he didn't have much to do with it. My dad was a part-time bookie. I guess I could say that now because he's passed away. They're not going to go after him.
Wow.
But he, listen to this, he would never bet against Notre Dame. wouldn't touch the Notre Dame games in college.
That's because Regis would kill him!
Well, he was, you know, the priest on the sidelines and stuff, he didn't want to go there. He didn't really want to mess with it.
That's so interesting. All right, so hold on. So when did you get into the Jesus stuff?
1980. Do you remember a group called Idol Cure? Idol Cure was a California band. Idol Cure was the guy in the band I met in third grade. Grew up with this guy. Mark Ambrose, he came back into my life in 1980, very, very different, and started sharing the gospel with me, taking me to church at Calvary Costa Mesa, California, and I didn't just buy into it, man. It nabbed my soul.
Gotcha. And, by the way, my story started in 81, so we're roughly spiritually, similar time periods there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a lot of people back in the day that said Kansas was a Christian band, but it wasn't.
No, it was a band that had Christians in it.
Yeah, thank goodness for that.
That's why I wanted it to stay together. The platform was unbelievable. Nobody else had a platform in pop rock music like Kansas had at that point. And I even said to Kerry, I don't think any of us are ever going to have this kind of platform with solo albums. You know, we should keep this thing happening. And it just, for whatever reason, it just didn't.
What's the darkest time you've had over the years spiritually? Wow, that's a depressing question.
You know what's interesting you should ask?
What, now?
No.
Oh.
No. I think I went through a long period of time where I became extremely complacent, and every little thing around me and the world around me was letting affect me heavily. And I didn't realize it, but it was really affecting me spiritually. Like when you get there was a crack in the foundation of my life, and it just kept growing slowly and growing. You know, when you see a crack in your driveway, it starts, it's a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at it about a year later, and it's grown about 8 feet. That's what was happening in my spiritual life, to the point where I just became, I didn't even know where I was or who I was spiritually anymore. I wasn't committing adultery or, you know, doing all that stuff, but I had this crack in the foundation that was affecting me pretty heavily.
What were the years that you were fronting the band? What's I can't remember the name of the band. What was it called? Kansas.
Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago. You were fronting it from 1980 what to what?
I'd say early 81.
right.
to about 85.
So, ironic that 81 was the year that you bought into the Jesus stuff, and you were part of Kansas. Isn't that weird?
1980, actually.
I mean, sorry, 80, yeah, 80. Well, right, around the time period, yeah, mine was 81. Sorry, I was thinking selfishly again. Yeah, I just find that ironic, just a little weird.
It is. Another strange thing happened to me. When I was about 18, I was in a top 40 band. I was singing Kansas stuff, and I was singing a lot of the high Boston stuff, you know, the real high tenor stuff.
Yeah.
I started losing my voice completely. I mean, I couldn't sing above an A natural anymore. It scared the living daylights out of me. So I went and took operatic training for about a year and a half or longer, and I gained 8 notes on my range. So I truly believe God was preparing me for that gig. I mean, I needed those 8 notes to sing what Steve Walsh was singing. And, you know, here I get saved in 1980, and I gained 8 notes on my range. I mean, I think that was more than coincidence.
That's a pretty cool story. Even for a pessimist like me, that's a cool story. The cooler story, though, with you, John, by the way, we're on the line with John Elefante, and he's a former frontman of Kansas and one of the freakiest producers out there. JohnElefante.com is a website you want to go to. The coolest thing about you with your story and your deal is the adoption stuff, man. And I say that as a guy who was adopted.
Are you adopted?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So drop this on our listeners, because that, first of all, that video you shot wrecked me. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Jeez.
You wrecked me, baby.
So you adopted not once, but twice.
Right.
Sounds like I'm selling steak knives.
And the doctor said we would never be able to have kids of our own. And lo and behold, my wife got pregnant 11 years ago. I got a little 11-year-old running around now.
See, that I hear that a lot. Like, that's kind of, that's not out of the norm. Yeah, you adopt. For some reason, things start working, you get a kid. I mean, you know.
It only takes one good swimmer, man. Just one.
Yeah. The story, though, Sammy's story, I mean, come on. Lay that out for us.
Oh, gosh. Well, her birth mother was 13 years old. That's really young.
Yeah.
Was all set to abort my daughter. I mean, within minutes, seconds maybe, and decided to use the phone in the abortion clinic, called her mom and told her she was pregnant. Her mom said, get the heck out of there right now. She picked her up, and she decided to keep the child. I mean, it's very, very hard for a 13-year-old to choose life like that, but she did, and I'm forever grateful. And I've written a song about it, my new record called This Time. I didn't write it to be political. I didn't write it as an anti-abortion song. I didn't write it as a pro-life song, even though I am very pro-life, as you can tell. But it has taken on a life of its own. I mean, people have really, really embraced it. I'm getting asked. I probably have about 25 shows booked this year, or for the coming year already, and I've probably had 30 or 40 calls to speak at events, pro-life events. I mean, I never imagined that would have happened. That I'd, you know, I'm not. That's just not my thing. But I'm getting calls right and left to do it, and it scares me because I could sing in front of a lot of people, but I can't talk real well in front of a lot of people.
Really?
No.
You're doing okay here.
Well, it's, you know, it's I'm in my bedroom talking in my pajamas. I'm comfortable.
Dude, I did not want to know that.
My PJs. I still have the PJs with the feet in them.
Come on. Best Christmas movie ever. A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah.
Hey?
You know what? That story is a lot the way I grew up.
What?
A little house like that. In fact, Ralphie and his brother remind me of my brother Dino and I. Always getting into trouble. You know, Dino was a little more bold than me, so he was Ralphie, but I was the younger brother that was always scared that Dino was going to do something that was going to get him killed by my mom.
I have a nightlight beside my bed because I'm afraid of the dark. And it's in the shape of a leg lamp.
Oh, my. We were on such a serious note there, and I went and ruined
it. Yeah, seriously. I was going to break out into, like, anyway.
Well, no, I'm enjoying this, Drew, because, I mean, you're a zany kind of guy. I mean, I'm loving it. It's
zany?
You're making it hard for me to get serious.
Zany? The 80s called. They want their word back.
I know. I'm sorry.
Zany. On My Way to the Sun. What do you think about that one?
I like it. It's one of the only records I've made in the last 20 years that I can listen to.
I heard you say that in another interview, and I think, what's your deal, man? Seriously, do you not realize how freaking amazing you are?
I'm very, very critical of myself. There's always things I wish I would have done different. Usually after I've heard a song back, there's different melodies I come up with that are better, so I don't want to hear the ones on the record, so I just don't listen to it.
Yeah.
But this record had a very special quality about it. It was a Kickstarter record. Hmm. Speaking of Brian Duncan again, I heard he'd done about 25 Kickstarter campaigns or something.
It's just to fund his smoking habit.
Anyway, it was special, man. I had the fans on my side. It felt like a big family making a record, and I really wanted to deliver a great record for these people that supported me. And I started out by trying to make the best record of my life, and that doesn't work when you put that kind of pressure in.
No.
So I quickly got off that notion and relaxed a little bit and just started writing, comfortably, and On My Way to the Sun was born.
John Elefante, writing, singing, lead vocals on 3 multi-platinum albums. As producer, his albums have earned numerous Dove Awards, 4 stinking Grammy Awards, come on, and 10 Grammy nominations. You make Vince Gill look like a chump.
Oh, come on.
As of 2009, John has produced and or performed in more than 100 major label albums. Man, I can't wait for you to get really old and get in a rocking chair and people come to visit you and they sit with you on the front porch sipping lemonade.
You know what, Drew, all that stuff when you talk about me sounds really cool, but I had lunch this week with a gentleman named Ken Scott that produced Vinyl Confessions. When I got home, I pulled up allmusic.com, which tells you about everybody's history and what they've done.
Yeah.
When I read his discography, I could not believe it. Revolver, The Beatles, Abbey Road, Supertramp, Crime of the Century. I mean, David Bowie, Elton John. I mean, this guy is, oh my goodness. And he's such a humble guy.
That's the key. I mean, that really is.
So he's come full circle, man. It's the younger guys. They think they're all that,
Those kids. The kids these days.
Those kids today.
No, it really is. I mean, and sincerity is important, And once you learn to fake that, you got it made. Well, I wish you the best, man. I really do.
I'm enjoying this. I don't want to hang up.
Yeah, you don't want to hang up?
No, it's because you got Michael Sweet coming in, I know.
Yeah. Who's that called?
They hung up before.
Oh. Might have been Michael Sweet that called. We need to.
Oh, he's a good bud, man. Give him a kiss over the phone for me.
We got to go. We got to talk to someone bigger.
Ah! he's a lot taller than I am.
Stop it. John Elefante, buddy, really enjoy talking with you. I don't know. I just kind of like you. I don't want to get creepy.
I wish all the interviews were this fun. A lot of them are just so serious and.
I posted a picture of Mary with a hand over her face like she was shocked, and in her other hand, she's holding a pregnancy stick.
Hmm.
And I posted that on my Facebook because I thought it was hilarious. I got all these serious people commenting on stuff. Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
Are you gonna put my video on your Facebook page?
Oh, you got it. You got it. I will.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkwansmas. Talk to you, John. See you, dude.
All right, man.
Yeah, bye-bye. John Elefante. Go to his website. Buy stuff. Go get that. Watch the video. Buy the song. YouTube. The whole. iTunes.
Is it on DrewTube at all anywhere?
It'll be up soon. Stay with us. Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a 4-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement 4 times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now, look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free on 877-JOY-1250. Now, sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?